す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite to catch up on the team that once had a pitcher whose pitching form was named after a sprinter. Yes, believe it or not, that was the case. Back in the 1950s, 1960s, we had a pitcher named Minoru Murayama, and he had a pitching form that was named the Zatopek, which was after a European sprinter from the 1950s in the Olympics, and he had such a look of exertion on his face during races, and Murayama also, when he pitched, had the same look on his face when he threw every pitch. He looked completely exerted, like he was giving his all, and so they called it the Zatopek pitching form. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is Monday, June the 19th, and this is episode 66. Welcome to the show. As always, before we get into the meat of the show, we are going to look at our number 66s. Back in the day, we're only talking about 7 years ago, but we had a certain guy drafted named Yamato Maeda, also now known as just Yamato. Well, when he started with the team, he was number 66 and has since moved on to number 0 and has since removed his last name of Maeda. Finally, we just acquired a free agent this past offseason from the SoftBank Hawks. Pardon me, not free agent. He was one of their lackeys, a guy that they cut because he was not cutting it in their system, Akihiro Yanase. He is now with us. He just got called up to the big squad. We're going to talk a little bit about him later. Anyhow, the year 1966, let's talk a little bit about this. Going back to the 1965 draft, which led into 1966, the 1965 draft was the first ever in NPB. Before that, teams could just sign the guys that they wanted when they wanted, and so a lot of the best players went to the Giants because they were the richest, they were the most influential team. Anyways, so as the scouts and the coaches and manager were gathered together to talk about who they would draft with the first ever pick, there was a divide, there was a rift between choosing a guy named Keiji Suzuki or a guy named Ishitoko. I forget his first name. Anyways, we ended up going with Ishitoko because the scout that wanted him was very adamant that he was going to be the best pitcher for us. Well, turns out he only got one career win, and Suzuki, who went to Kintetsu, ended his career with the fourth most wins all time in NPB history. So there you go. Scouts make mistakes really often. As far as the 66 team goes, we had a guy named Sugishita take the helm, and he was told to use the younger guys, so we had a changing of the guard. Yoshio Yoshida, who was the most famous shortstop in team history, he was replaced by Taira Fujita, who has the most hits in team history. He was replaced in that season, 1966. The team finished in third place. They were 25 games back of the Yomiuri Giants, who won their second straight pennant in this season. As for the draft in this year, we chose a guy by the name of Yutaka Enatsu. Turned out to be a bit of a better pick than our previous first round pick. So good on us there. And finally, this was the season in which this Murayama guy that we talked about earlier, he predicted that he would get his 1500th career strikeout against the legendary Shigeo Nagashima, and in fact he did. So good on him. We are going to be right back with the rest of the show. Stick around. His joy consumes, give it on a guy, he'll follow through. I trust in you, I follow you. First up, we are going to talk about the news. And one of the most important bits of news, I would say anyways, is that Shintaro Fujinami is still on the farm. And the other day he had an outing. He went 6 innings and allowed, I think it was just 2 hits and 1 run. No, no runs. And 10 strikeouts. Sounds good, doesn't it? He walked 5 and he threw 2 wild pitches, so he's still the same old Shintaro, so it looks like it's going to be a while before we get him back on the top squad. Still does not have his control by any stretch of the imagination. Next up, there have been rumors of Hanshin pursuing another foreign bat. Obviously, you know, things have not worked out as they had hoped they would with Eric Campbell. And again, I say, talk about misusing a guy or not giving him enough of a chance. You know, he's falling into the exact same category or the exact same trap or whatever as Matt Haig did last season. Well, the rumor is that we are going after possibly Hector Luna, possibly Anderson Hernandez, possibly Rosario. I forget his first name. These are all guys that formerly played either for the Hiroshima Carp or the Chunichi Dragons or both. And they're all, well, Rosario is not so old. The other two are a little bit on the tail end of their careers. But none of them are really power hitters. And so it just seems like we're chasing after the same old, literally old in this case, the same types of hitters. Now, there were also rumors that we were looking into Will Middlebrooks, who played for the Boston Red Sox several years ago. He's still pretty young. And I don't know his career very well, but I've been told that, you know, he has really lost his swing. He's lost what magic he had when he was actually playing fairly well for the Red Sox. So I'm not sure if we want to go after him. There were a couple other guys also mentioned, guys that I hadn't heard of. But yeah, none of them are necessarily going to be here. And I'm not going to discuss this in a lot of great depth because, again, it's just rumors and who knows. I mean, even if we sign someone before the July 31st deadline, I highly doubt that this player is going to have a big impact on our team and on this season. So I'd say, why don't we shelf it until the off season and do some serious scouting and go for a serious power bat, which is what we should have done the past two off seasons. Anyways, next bit of news. Our lone development player, or Ikuse player, Naoto Nishida, has gotten regular player status. Now, what that means is he was wearing the number 133, and a triple-digit number automatically means that you cannot play in top squad games. You're allowed to play in farm games, you know, their official games as well as exhibition games, but you can't play top squad games. Well, now Nishida is eligible to be called up to the top team. Doesn't mean it's going to be done. You know, last year Haraguchi had the same story, right? He went from number 124 to 94, and wow, what a season he had. Well, Nishida goes from number 133 to number 93, and who knows, but he hasn't been called up yet. Also, Randy Messenger, we'll get into his outing a little bit later in the show. He reached 1,207, I think it is, career strikeouts, which puts him 94th on the all-time list in NPB history, ahead of Hideo Nomo. Yes, that Hideo Nomo. And also, I was kind of looking at the numbers. It looks like Randy could make it as high as 80th all-time by season's end. And by the time he calls it a career, he might be at the top of the foreigners list, and he might be in the top 50 all-time in Japanese history. Pretty impressive stuff. Finally, on Thursday, manager Tomoaki Kanemoto got his 100th career win as a manager. And interestingly, there were a couple other managers who started the 2016 season as rookie managers, just like him. And they also reached the 100 career win plateau this week. However, it was later in the week, and that would be Alex Ramirez as well as Yoshinobu Takahashi. And both of those teams finished ahead of us last year, which means that we are that much farther ahead of them this year. So congratulations to Kanemoto, and here's to 100 more, 200 more, 500 more. However long you're an effective manager, we want you there. All right, that does it for the news. Let's recap. So it was a 6-day week, and interestingly, we got through Interleague without a single rainout. And you know, this is supposed to be rainy season in Japan. Well, it did not rain for the entirety, pretty much, of those 3 weeks of Interleague, which I suppose is a good thing for baseball anyways. So on Tuesday, Takumi Akiyama was on the mound for us, and they brought a dude named Nogami. And we started out well in this one. You know, probably some of you know that I am not a huge Shunsuke fan, but the guy is turning me into a bit of a believer. However, I'm a bit afraid to say that because every time that I say that he's not going to do well, or he's going to choke, or that he's no good, what is he doing up at the plate? He does something well. So, and that happened several times on Tuesday. I was at the game, by the way. So in the bottom of the second inning, with a couple of runners on, that was on first and second, Shunsuke hit a double to center field. So that scored two runs, so we took a 2-1 lead. And then Akiyama gave up a couple of solo shots, one in the top of the third, one in the top of the fourth. That was to rookie Genda, and then to the big man, Ernesto Mejia. Solo shot, so it's a 2-2 tie, but Shunsuke sucks. He's not going to do anything good. Bam! Home run! Bottom of the fourth. He hits one over the left field fence, well, left center field, I suppose it was. Anyways, his first career home run at Koshien, his first home run in three seasons, and in the fourth of his illustrious career. but it gives us a 3-2 lead. It propels us to even more. In the bottom of the seventh, Itohara hits a double over Akiyama, not our pitcher, over their center fielder Akiyama. That scored a couple more runs, and then Nakatani, one inning later, hit a triple, and that one went to center field as well. And that scored us a couple more runs. We had runners on first and third at that time. So 7-2, and that was the final. So we won game one of this series. Pretty good. T-Ray is perfect at Koshien so far this year. I think it's a 5-0 record right now. So take me out to the ball game, everybody, and we will keep winning. You know, this was just a great game to be at. It really was. I mean, it was a lot of fun to see all the batting. Akiyama, he gave up a lot of hits. He gave up 8 hits in this one, and that means that during interleague, he gave up 31 hits in 3 starts. So he did get knocked around. However, interestingly, Akiyama also went 3-0 during interleague. That includes the first week when he won the game. We won 15-7. So, you know, he had a terrible outing, but our bats backed him up. Anyhow, Akiyama was strong when necessary. I mean, outside of those 2 solo home runs, he gave up no runs on 6 hits. So that's pretty good. Iwazaki came in as a reliever, did not do a great job. And he was saved by Kuwahara. How often have we seen this in the past month or so? And actually later on in this week as well. So pretty crazy stuff. But my dear Shunsuke, I shall never doubt you again. Not after this one. The next day, June the 14th, Wednesday, happy birthday, dear T-Ray. It was my birthday, and so actually I did not watch this game much at all. I think I might have caught a little bit of it, or I caught highlights, something like that. So we'll breeze through the scoring here real quick. First inning, runners on first and second. This is Nomi pitching for us. He walked a couple of guys, and then he gave up an RBI single to the big, chubby, portly Okawari-kun Nakamura for them, 1-0. Couple innings later, he gives up hits to those same 2 guys to lead off the inning, and then big chubby Okawari-kun comes in and smashes one over the wall, so 4-0. It's the same 3 guys. And then in the bottom of the 5th, we got a couple runs back. My dear Shunsuke, it wasn't an RBI hit this time, but it was a grounder. We had runners, I think, on all bases, or maybe it was 2nd and 3rd. So grounder scores us a run. The next guy up was Umeno. He hit a sac fly, scores us a run. It's 4-2, and that's how this one ended. We did not mount any comeback after that, unfortunately. So again, Nomi was beaten by just 3 batters. That's it. I mean, the rest of the team he had completely under control. I think he allowed just 1 or 2 other hits outside of those 3 guys. And then I was counting on a win here because our dear friend Christian said Okamoto. By the way, I called him Yoshioka last week. Pardon me. Okamoto, he said, is not a good pitcher. I don't know what he's doing up here. He did not get smacked around by any means. We were not able to figure him out. So just the 2 runs, neither of them were RBI hits, and a 4-2 loss. So there goes my prediction of a perfect sweep. I was really hoping, you know, one of these series would end with a sweep. Well, not this one. Let's press forward to Thursday. And this one, of course, we had the big guy, Randy Messenger, on the mound, and they had a guy named Togame, 10 Turtles, on the mound. This one, we got the scoring going early on with a runner on second base and 2 outs. Fukudome, who has been slumping big time in interleague action, hit an RBI single. So it's 1-0. In the top of the 4th, though, Randy, who really did not have an outstanding outing, made his one, though, crucial mistake, and that was a 2-run home run to Ernesto Mejia for his 2nd home run of the series. This one was crushed. 2-1 for the Lions. However, we Cats, we are stronger than their Cats, the Lions. The Tigers in the bottom of the 6th, Hayata Ito, with an RBI single to tie it up. And then actually, what helped on that one as well was that their right fielder fumbled the ball, so he bobbled it. So it was 2-2. Anyways, that was a tie game. We had chances to do even more. It was runners on first and third, but we could not get it going. So we go all the way to the bottom of the 10th because nobody could score. And particularly, they had no chance against our relievers on this day. But Haraguchi in the bottom of the 10th with the bases loaded and 1 out hits one over their shortstop into left for the walk-off. Game-winning, series-winning hit, 3-2 Tigers. Tigers win. The win goes to Takahashi. And let me tell you, our relievers were outstanding in this one. Randy, 6 innings pitched on 121 pitches is a little bit high. 5 hits, 5 walks. The 5 walks is a little bit of an eyesore. 6 strikeouts. But again, just the 2-run home run to Mejia. Then we had Kuwahara, 1 inning, 3 strikeouts, 1 hit. Mateo, 1 inning, no hits, 2 strikeouts. Dolis, 1 inning, no hits, 1 strikeout. Takahashi, 1 inning, 1 walk, no hits, and 1 strikeout. And, you know, so our relievers went 4 innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 walk. Yeah, you aren't going to score a lot of runs against that kind of pitching. So it was great for us, and we actually got the job done against... They have some pretty good relievers themselves, and we got it done against Schlitter. So good for us. That came in the form of a walk, a sack bunt, a hit, an intentional walk, and then the Haraguchi hit. So we win the series. 2-1. We are now 25-28 overall against these Lions, so we still have a losing record. It would take a sweep next year for us to even things out. We move on. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we host the top Rakuten Eagles. Who would have thought at this stage of the season those Eagles would be the top PL team, but they are. So Iwasada is up against Fujihira. Fujihira is a high school graduate first round pick, first game of the year. He's playing at Koshien, probably because he did well at Koshien as a high schooler and they wanted to give him a chance, you know, see how he does, put him on a field that he's familiar with. I hate to say, I was not able to watch this much of this game either. I had a rare evening of having a date with my wife, which doesn't happen very often these days, you know, with having young kids. And so basically what happened was when we got home and after the kids were in bed, I fast-forwarded through this one. I literally watched the game in, I think, 10 minutes. I just kept fast-forwarding until I saw something happen. I would watch slowly. So anyhow, let me run through the scoring on this one. Haraguchi hits one to left center in the bottom of the second inning. It was a home run. So 2-0. And that was followed by a home run against Iwasada in the top of the third. So it is 2-1. Then Toritani gets us the runs back in the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth, with a two-run it was a bases-loaded two-run single, so it's 4-1 for us. And then in the bottom of the ninth, I think Dolis was in the game at this point, and he gave up a run on a double. But that's it. 4-2, we win. Iwasada looks incredibly sharp in this one. He gets the win, and deservedly so. The only hit he gave up was that home run. And he had one walk right after that home run. And other than that, he was perfect in his 7 innings. Granted, you know, it took him 107 pitches, but that's okay. You know, 1 hit and 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 1 run against. So solid pitching from this guy that we need, you know, to come alive down the stretch. So again, in this one, we didn't capitalize against Fujihira at all. We got the one home run and that's it. He went 5 innings and then he left. And we got the other ones against their relief. We only totaled 5 hits against Fujihira, and those are fairly spread out. So not great for us in that department. But we'll take the win. You know, it's a good way to start the series, right? So let's move on to Saturday, and we have got the Blue Goat, Koyo Aoyagi, against the beautiful horse, Manabu Mima. That's right, his kanji means beautiful horse. By the way, Aoyagi's does not mean blue goat. It means blue willow. But Yagi also means goat, so I call him the Blue Goat. Anyhow, the Goat gets in trouble early with runners on first and second, both via the walk. Zealous Wheeler hits an RBI single, gets them one run. They get another one in the third inning, this one with a bases-loaded infield hit, so it's 2-0. And we come back in the fourth inning, Nakatani with a hit up the middle to make it 2-1, and then Haraguchi... Man, we've said this name a lot in the last few days. He hits a double. That one went to the wall, and it's 2-2 with runners on second and third. We've got a chance. It's 2 outs. We've got a chance, but we don't capitalize, so 2-2. This one goes all the way until the eighth inning, and then things fell apart for our poor relievers who have been really good of late. So uncharacteristically, this is what went down. Walk, fly out, triple, strikeout, walk, error, which should have ended the inning, walk, grand slam. And then a strikeout to end the inning. Anyways, the damage was done. 8-2 loss. So the series is even right now, 1-1. what can we say? Mateo wasn't all that bad. It was Mateo who got the loss, and he allowed four runs, including one earned. Of course, you know, the Haraguchi error did not help. But this is what happened. Of course, you know, the walks are all on Mateo, but the triple that they hit, really, that one was a product of some wind action, but also the outfield was drawn in because we wanted to prevent runs in that tight game. And so Fukudome was starting from a bit of a shallow spot. I think if he'd been a bit deeper, it would have been catchable. I think that Ryoma Matsuda was stupid for trying to challenge Peguero with his fastball, I believe it was. And it was a goner. I mean, Peguero crushed that ball to center field. I haven't seen one hit that deep to center in a long time. So yeah, Matsuda, you're canned. Literally, Matsuda is canned. He got farmed right away. To go along with pinch hitter, bottom of the fifth, this is Ryota Arai, pinch hitting for Aoyagi pretty early in. First pitch, grounder to pitcher. Ouch. Way to go, buddy. When you're pinch hitting and you're starting an inning as the pinch hitter, there's no need to go after that first pitch. There really isn't, no matter how much you think you're going to crush it. You know, you haven't seen any pitches yet, except for from the dugout. So you really got to see a couple pitches up there, I think. I mean, that's just my opinion. But, you know, that's also said in hindsight. So there you have it. The series is tied, as I said. And now we're heading into Sunday. And we are bringing our rookie, Taiki Ono. And they have got their free agent acquisition, Takayuki Kishi, who is having a pretty solid season. The talk in this one was that, you know, Ono and Kishi have a very similar form. They look the same on the mound. They're the same build, all that kind of stuff. Of course, you know, Kishi's a little bit older than Ono. So when we look at Kishi, we can kind of maybe see what we can expect out of Ono several years down the road. Well, if that's the case, good, good, good. For the record, again, I did not get to watch this one either. So, you know, I didn't have a very good baseball viewing week. This one, you know, of course, because it was Father's Day. By the way, happy belated Father's Day to all you dads out there, to all the dads of Hanshin Tigers players, as well as all the Hanshin Tigers players who are dads. Chichi no hi, omedetou gozaimasu. So, back to the game. There's not much to say. Ono allowed one run, and that came in the sixth inning. He gave up a leadoff walk. That was his first and only walk of the game, followed by a hit, and then followed by the RBI. And the RBI was really close. If Itohara had not been cheating back towards third base. He's the shortstop, by the way, on this day. If he hadn't been cheating back towards third base to get back in position, because he was trying to, you know, he was kind of covering second base because of the runner there. Anyways, you know, he was just a bit too late in getting his glove on this one, so it made its way into center field, and they scored the run. Otherwise, this one could still be going now. I mean, seriously, Ono pitched really well. Kishi was pitching really well. And there you have it. You know, we had 10 hits on this day. We had a lot of chances, everybody, but we were unable to capitalize. In particular, I'll mention two episodes, and then we will call this all a wrap. Eighth inning. Bottom of the eighth with one out. We have got runners on first and second, I believe it is. No, first and third. Uemoto and Nakatani with back-to-back hits. And this is a chance. I mean, you know, Fukudome up at the plate. And all we need to do is put this ball into play and not hit into a double play. And double play Fukudome. Double play Fukudome. This is like, you know, becoming his synonym. He is becoming synonymous with the double play. And this one was, that kills. You know, if he had put it in play and gotten himself out or even gotten Nakatani out, you know, Uemoto was on third. He could have charged a home. It would have been a tie game. No guy. Didn't happen. Lastly, in the ninth inning, we went up against their closer, Yuki Matsui, who is very good. He's got an ERA of 0.3 on the year. That could have very easily increased significantly because with two outs, we got back-to-back singles. This time it was Yamato and pinch hitter Yoshio Itoi. And then Shunsuke came in to pinch hit. And again, you know, Shunsuke can't do anything right. He sucks. Actually, I wasn't watching live, so it didn't work. My mojo didn't work. But something almost worked because he hit, I think it was the first pitch that he saw, and he crushed it, man. He hit it over the left field wall, but it curled foul. Ah, you know, we almost had the walk-off three-run Shunsuke heroic home run against a super closer, but it didn't happen. So I think, you know, this one just wasn't in the cards. But, you know, when I look at those last two innings and you look at the effort that the guys put in at the plate, you know, getting two guys on base in the eighth, two more guys on base in the ninth, never giving up. You know, we were, you know, inches away from walking off with the win. So I applaud Hanshin, even though we lost the series 1-2. We are now 28-25 overall against these Rakuten Eagles, so we have a winning record against them still.
This is your week.
Now, player of the week is where things get pretty interesting, because there are a lot of candidates that we could look at here. We're going to look first at some pitchers. And the first one, of course, could be Yuta Iwasada. You know, Yuta Iwasada in his outing, like I said earlier, went seven innings pitched. One hit, one walk, one earned run. That was the home run. Six strikeouts. Looks like the kid is back. He's got a 2.21 ERA on the month so far. So he is definitely a candidate. Another one that you cannot overlook. You know, this guy has come in so many crucial situations. And this week alone, he only went 2 1/3 innings, but in those 2 1/3 innings, he allowed one hit and struck out six. That's right, six of the seven batters he faced, he struck out. The one batter he did not strike out, he got out on one pitch. That is Kentaro Kuwahara. So, you know, outstanding relief work from him. His ERA on the season is 0.91 over 29 2/3 innings. So that's pretty sick. That's pretty sick. And so those are the two guys that I would give you know, the runner-up to. As for the hitters, you know, there's a couple of guys here as well. I would say, you know, Haraguchi, he was the hero in the walk-off game. He hit a two-run home run. So on the week, he only actually played in four games, but he went 4-for-13 in those games. Pardon me, 4-for-15, because he went 0-for-4 on Sunday. But he had four RBIs in those games. So that's pretty good in a week when we didn't score a ton of runs. So Haraguchi is definitely a candidate. Another guy that I would definitely pat on the back is Masahiro Nakatani. He played in all the games. He went 23 at-bats, and he had, get this, 11 hits, 11-for-23. However, I believe they were all... No, he had a triple and a double. He had no home runs, and he had three RBIs. So could have done a little bit better in the RBI department, but... still very solid. And why am I not giving it to him? Because I think there's one guy that stands out even more than that. That being Shun Takayama. Takayama also played in all the games. He also went 11-for-23. He had multiple hits in all games. Actually, he had no RBIs and just two runs. So you know what? Now that I look more closely at the data, maybe I do need to give it to Nakatani. You know, Nakatani had the 5-for-5 game as well, where he set up the game-winning run in the walk-off game. So let's go co-players of the week, just for a change. You know, we got Takayama and Nakatani, Takanaka. There you have it. Those are my players of the week. Hanshin Tigers. Hanshin Tigers. Hey, over Hot Topics, we have got a double dose for you. Yeah, you thought that T-Ray, since he didn't watch much baseball, wouldn't have a lot to say today? Guess again. I always have stuff to say, folks. You should know that if you listen to this podcast, and I hope you enjoy the words that I speak. Anyways, the first thing we want to talk about is just a quick interleague wrap-up, and this will only take a couple of minutes, but just go over some numbers here. So we went... 10-8 during interleague play, which is much better than last year's 7-11. However, think about this, and this is something that makes me think that maybe we weren't that good, or we weren't quite as good as we might think we were. And that is that last year, when we went through our interleague schedule, we faced five elite. I mean, we faced five guys that were either on the Samurai Japan team or should have been. The one who wasn't on the Samurai Japan team was Shohei Ohtani, who was hurt. But these are some of the pitchers we faced last year. We faced Takahiro Norimoto of the Eagles. We faced Ayumu Ishikawa of the Marines. We faced Shohei Ohtani of the Fighters. We faced Shota Takeda of the Hawks and also Kodai Senga of the Hawks. We went 0-5 in those games. We got shut out in, I think, a couple of them. I could be wrong. I know for sure Ohtani shut us out, and I'm pretty sure Senga did the same to us against Randy last year. So, you know, that's 0-5. So if you take that away, we were 6-5 against the rest of the PL during Interleague. So what, you might say? Well, this year, you know what great pitchers or aces we faced? Yeah, we faced Ayumu Ishikawa, the same guy as last year, who is struggling this year, and we pounded him. And we faced Chihiro Kaneko of the Buffaloes, who was not on the Samurai Japan team, but he was having an incredible season. And we pounded him as well. So good for us for hitting the aces, but we definitely did not face a lot of the other team's best pitchers by any means. You know, we got lucky. Senga got hurt, so we didn't have to face him. Takeda is hurt, so we didn't have to face him. Ohtani is hurt, so we didn't have to face him. Norimoto ended up playing the other half of the week. And then also Kikuchi of the Lions also played in the other half of the week. So we avoided a lot of the other team's top pitchers this year. Our best hitter during Interleague, as far as average goes, was Takashi Toritani, who hit .338. Pretty impressive stuff. And the anti-hero for us, without a doubt, is Kosuke Fukudome, who hit a paltry .164, less than half of what Toritani did. Fukudome also had one double, no triples, no home runs. And he also hit into 6 double plays during Interleague, everybody. 6. Okay. That's a problem. When you only get 10 hits and 6 double plays, ouch. So that was a big problem. The good pitchers that we had going, you know what? In past years, Randy Messenger, I think in 2015, he allowed 0 runs during Interleague. 2016, he allowed 1 run during Interleague. His luck kind of ran out this year. He still did all right, but he was not our best pitcher. Probably our best pitcher might even be, Yuta Iwasada. He had a couple of good outings in there. Koyo Aoyagi had a couple of decent outings, but he only went like 5 innings. And then even Taiki Ono, despite him falling apart early against the Hawks, he held tight there. And then on this past Sunday against the Eagles, he was also really good. So there you have it. The SoftBank Hawks end up winning the Interleague standings or whatever, with a 12-6 record. They tied with Hiroshima. However, they won the tiebreaker. And so NPB Reddit does a predictions contest every season for Interleague. And I've entered the contest 3 times, and I've won 3 times. This one was really lucky because of the tiebreaker rule or whatever. But I'm proud to say that I am the Interleague champion 3 times over. I am a 3-peater. There you go. Topic number 2. For Hot Topics is this. We have got a number of guys sitting on our bench on any given day, and we've also got a number of guys that are on the farm on any given day, right? So the question is, do we have the right guys on the bench, and do we have the right guys sitting on the farm? Well, we have to think about a couple of things then. What is the purpose of the bench? What is the purpose of the farm? So bench players, a lot of times, are guys that are role players, right? I mean, they're not necessarily guys that are going to be able to replace a starter full-time. They are not expected to become full-time players anytime soon in general, right? These are guys that are good at pinch running, pinch hitting, defensive replacements, maybe the occasional spot start. But they're not necessarily guys that you're hoping are going to be your everyday player, you know, over a long stretch of time. On the other hand, the farm guys, you know, these are the guys that you want to be able to give regular playing time to so that they can have as much practice as they need to hone their craft so that if there's an injury or if there's a big slump on the top squad, they can come in and they can immediately start games. That's the general idea anyways. I mean, there are exceptions, but that seems to be the way things work. And so the farm literally is a place for developing players. And the bench is a place for players that maybe have already established themselves, but have also possibly established the fact that they aren't top material. They're not starter material, but they certainly fill an important role on the team. So we're going to talk mostly hitters here. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to list for you the guys that we have sitting on the bench currently for the top squad, and then the top guys that we have on the farm and how they're doing, and maybe how we could swap some of those guys in and out. So first, it's a 28-man roster. We've got six starting pitchers and six relief pitchers and possibly a closer in there. And then we've got eight starting fielders, you know, plus the pitcher. And then we've got roughly eight guys on the bench, seven or eight guys on the bench, hitters. So our guys on the bench, Taichi Okazaki, backup catcher. Of course, that's necessary. You need a backup catcher. And, you know, I see him as the guy that can fulfill the role. He's come in and had some clutch hits, but also he just seems to have good chemistry with some of the pitchers. So I'm good on that. Fumiya Araki, he has been backing up Haraguchi or Nakatani at first base. He's also been a pinch runner. Seldom gets a chance at the plate, but that's okay because he is not really known for his bat. So, but he fulfills that role, right? Yamato, you know, he gets the occasional start, but he's usually a defensive replacement, sometimes pinch hitter, sometimes pinch runner. But he's definitely a utility guy. He could play any position. He plays everything on the field very well. So there's no moving him. I think he is definitely established the fact that unless his bat is consistent and maybe gets a little bit more power in it, he ain't going to get a lot of starts. But he's not without his value. So, you know, even when a main guy goes down, probably Yamato is not going to get all the starts because he just doesn't have that potential to be a game breaker with the bat. Fumiya Hojo has seen a lot of time on the bench. And this is the one that I question. And this is kind of the inspiration behind this whole hot topic, I guess you could say. He was the starting shortstop last year at age 21, I believe it was. Now that he's 22, maybe he's turning 23 soon. He has seen the bench a lot this year in favor of Kento Itohara. And occasionally Yamato and others. Well, Hojo is still a guy that, you know, he started the season really slowly and got it together for a little while and then went right back into slumping. He's getting the occasional pinch hit, but he's never a defensive replacement. He's never a pinch runner because he's a terrible runner. So his main role is just spot starter. And honestly, at age 22, I see him as a guy that we could swap out. We could put him down on the farm, give him playing time, let him get his swing back, let him get some more personal one-on-one coaching time with Kakefu and the hitting coaches down there. So that's Hojo. also on the bench, right now we've got Yusuke Oyama, but until he was called up, before that it was Ryota Arai, and before that it was Eric Campbell. Those are all guys that were not getting regular starting time because they're all kind of third basemen by trade. I suppose any of them could play first base, but it's not their natural position. But, you know, they all seem to be replacement level. At least, you know, Campbell has not gotten the chance to prove that he is starter level. So let's see what Oyama can do. But honestly, I mean, Oyama, if he's just going to sit on the bench and get like one at-bat or zero at-bats per game and no defensive replacement, no pinch runner stuff, I'd say we got to put him back on the farm, let him develop more. Shunsuke. Man, he seems to be fulfilling the role, especially while Itoi was out. You know, he did an adequate job at the dish. He is a solid defender, so he can be the pinch runner. He can be the defensive replacement. You know, he's proven even that he can be the pinch hitter. Although, personally, I find that when it comes down to pressure situations, he's a little bit weak. Sort of like Yamato in that way. Kind of a poor man's Yamato in that way. Yeah. But I'd still say, you know, there's room for him on the top squad. Can you believe T-Ray is endorsing Shunsuke? Yes, it's happening. Okay, let's move on before we dwell on that for too long and let it sink in. We also have Haraguchi and Nakatani platooning at first base. So in general, one of those guys is on the bench, and I'm okay with that. You know, they both seem to go through hot spells and cold spells, and so, you know, it's okay to have one of them riding the pine and being an adequate or a dangerous pinch hitter later in a game. Nakatani also has the flexibility to play the outfield in case of injury or in case of defensive replacement, and he is a good defender. And also, Haraguchi is like, you know, the what-if, just-in-case, third-string catcher. So those guys definitely need to be there on the bench or on the field. And finally, we've got Hayata Ito, who has been proving that he can do all right as a pinch hitter, but do not ever, Kanemoto, start him in the field. He has no business with a glove on his hand, a fielding glove, that is. Now, what about on the farm? Who have we got there, and how are they doing? Well, I'm going to run through some names for you and some stats so you can see, and positions as well. Some of these names will ring bells if you followed the team last year, because as you know, last year, Kanemoto gave chances to almost everybody. Everybody with a Japanese name, that is. Oh! So, let's start with the important Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who has been injured since last July, so almost a full season. He looks like he is getting ready to make his return. By trade, he is a second baseman. However, way back in the day, he played shortstop as well. And a couple of years ago for the Tigers, he even played third base. So he could probably handle somewhat mediocrely, not a word, he could handle any of those infield positions. In 9 games so far on the farm, in 24 at-bats, he has got 8 hits, including 2 doubles. He's got 1 stolen base and 1 walk. So he's batting .333, so not too bad. I'm expecting that his return is going to be imminent. Eric Campbell, by the way, is batting .321 on the farm with a home run and 8 RBIs. He also has 12 walks and just 9 strikeouts. So, you know, much like Haig last year, you know, putting up great numbers on the farm, but not being able to find a decent translation for that on the top squad. Whatever happened to Keisuke Kano, the pinch hitter extraordinaire of yesteryear? He's batting .266 with 2 home runs and 8 RBI on the farm. You know, he's an outfielder by trade, but he never really got a lot of fielding time, even on the top squad. And so he's really the pinch hitter. So maybe like if Hayata Ito cools off or whatever, maybe Kano will get the call up. Naomasa Yokawa, the double crown winner on the farm last year in home runs and RBIs, is tearing it up again. Maybe not as badly as last year or as hugely as last year. Batting .265 with 9 home runs and 37 RBIs, easily leading the team in both of those categories. He's a third baseman by trade, and so, you know, he's got a lineup behind what? Toritani, Campbell, Arai, Oyama. Maybe not line up behind him, but he's certainly, you know, got a lot of competition. Let's see. Seishiro Sakamoto, who was, you know, touted as the next great catcher. He was drafted right behind Takayama in the draft in 2015. Was injured, broke a finger in his hand, has played 16 games on the farm, is batting .237 with 4 RBI, no home runs. Maybe needs a bit more time, I don't know. Ryota Imanari, whatever happened to that third baseman? Speaking of guys that need to line up behind everybody else, he is batting a, you know, pedestrian .233 on the farm. 3 home runs, 15 RBIs. Those 3 home runs are kind of encouraging because I don't think he had one on the top squad for 2 seasons, maybe. So, but, you know, he's got a ways to go as well. Let's see. Kai Ueda. He was drafted out of high school in 2014. And he's, you know, touted to be a solid shortstop for the future. He's batting just .218, but he's got 12 stolen bases down on the farm. So he could come up and be the pinch runner that Araki is right now. I mean, if he ends up, you know, with some solid defense, and if we have the need at shortstop, he could be the guy to replace Araki there, possibly. Whatever happened to Yutaro Itayama from last year? He got, you know, a few starts up on the top squad. He played up on the top squad for a good month and a half, maybe 2 months last year. Sorry, he's only batting .186 with 1 home run and 15 RBI. So those last two numbers are not, well, the 1 home run is not great, but the 15 RBI is not too bad. But that's just not going to cut it. And the one name, actually, there's 2 names I left out that I will mention. One is, of course, the mystery man. No, not Austin Powers, Shintaro Yokota, the national man of mystery. Where is he? He has not played at all on the farm. You know, he left spring training camp in Okinawa with migraines, and nobody has heard a word since. The media has not talked about him. I have a feeling he's got some mental issues or something, and I'm not saying that to make little of the fact that mental issues happen, but really, like, I kind of feel like Japan doesn't know how to handle this in a way of reporting it, or you know, maybe he has not come out with it, or maybe it's just one of those really delicate issues, but you know, it just doesn't seem right that he doesn't even get a mention or anything. So there must be something going on there, seriously. So we hope for the best for Yokota. And then the other guy that you might be going, hey, where is he? Taiga Egoshi. That's right. Where are you at, buddy? I'll tell you where he's at. 15 games on the farm. He is batting 063. That's right. He has got 3 hits in 48 at-bats with 22 strikeouts. I mean, there's a lot of pitchers that can put up way better numbers than that. So, Egosh, man, something going on in your head too. Hopefully you'll be able to figure that out and turn stuff around, because I have high hopes for you. Egosh, I feel like he's got the most natural ability, the best running, the best power among our young guys that we've got on the team. However, when you can't get it together, you know, there, you got no business up on the top squad. So there you have it. That's what I say about our farm guys and our guys that are sitting on the bench. A couple more things before we end off that Hot Topics session, though. You know, when Fujinami is ready to come back, what are we going to do? Who are we going to farm as far as our starting rotation goes? You know, the 6 guys in our rotation right now are Randy Messenger, Yuta Iwasada, Takumi Akiyama, Atsushi Nomi, the Blue Goat, Aoyagi, and Taiki Ono, who's really starting to come along. So, you know, do we farm Ono? Do we farm Aoyagi? Do we rest Nomi? What do we do? And then, you know, the top reliever right now in the Western League, pardon me, not top reliever, the top pitcher in the Western League right now is our own Hiroya Shimamoto, who tends to give up home runs like it's candy on Halloween, but his ERA somehow is just 1.7. So he may get a call up, but there's just no space for him. And let me tell you, home runs will come a lot easier for our opponents if we call him up. Finally, when is Ando going to get his turn? Seriously, I mean, Ando is the elder statesman on the team, and he is doing nothing wrong, folks. Let me tell you, his ERA right now is a healthy 0.53, one earned run in 17 innings of pitching from that guy, from the big guy. So Ando is there anyways as an insurance policy in case anybody tires out. There's talk, you know, that Kuwahara, who has never played a full season, really, I mean, he's always been a farm boy, you know, he may tire out eventually. So Ando, we're waiting for you, big guy. What do you think? What kind of moves would you like to see the team make? I would love to hear your opinion on that. Hit me up with an email sometime. So as you may have heard, this week we only have 3 games on tap. We are going into Hiroshima to face the top Hiroshima Carp. There are 3 games ahead of us in the standings. I say, who cares about that? What I do care about is we need to get it done there. Last time that we played in their barn was actually to open the season. We have not played in Hiroshima since then. We beat Chris Johnson with Messenger on the mound, and then we lost 2 straight. One of those was a disaster of a walk fest. The other one was just a disaster because we got creamed. I think it was a 1-6 final, and the only run we got was a home run by Itoi. Anyhow, apparently we are going to be starting the same 3 guys in that series as we did in that opening series against the Carp. Apparently we're going to have Messenger on Friday, and then we're going to swap the order, but I think we're going to have Nomi on Saturday and Iwasada on Sunday, which is the opposite of what we had last time. So what can we expect? I mean, the Carp are heating up. You know, they finished 12-6 in Interleague, and you know, they've got Johnson back, and he's pitching a little bit better than he did in that opening day. Yoshihiro Maru, their center fielder, hit .411 during Interleague. He also had 1 game with 3 home runs, and he followed that with another game with a game-winning home run, I think it was. So look out, Carp, I say. But I'm going to say, you know what, Hanshin, hopefully with Itoi getting some rest and hopefully with Fukudome clearing some headspace and learning how to lift the ball off the ground, that guy's hitting so many grounders these days. Let me tell you, you need to learn to line drive again, buddy. Anyways, I am hoping. This is T-Ray's hope, not T-Ray's realistic prediction. 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3. By the way, did I mention, props to Christian, he predicted the entire Interleague correct for Hanshin. Every time he said they'd win 2 out of 3, they did. Every time he said they'd win 1 out of 3, they did. So, Christian, congrats. You are the man, and thank you so much for your help. Anyways, Christian, what do you think? Are we going to win 2 out of 3 like T-Ray says? I say 2 out of 3 against the Hiroshima Carp, because we're bringing great pitching, and hopefully we'll be able to do some damage to their pitchers. Hopefully Chris Johnson is still not in his groove yet, and we can do this thing. So there you have it. Very quick predictions show. That is it. You know, if you're going to be at any games, I really have to thank you all. I got pictures from 3 different sources from this past weekend series against the Eagles. I've gotten pictures given to me by different fans sitting in different parts of the stadiums, not just Koshien, but all over the country at different stadiums. Thank you for sending your pictures our way. It really adds a bit of flavor to the page. It makes the recaps look that much nicer. You know, even if you think you're not a great photographer, neither am I. And, you know, the pictures help. I love them. I think other people love them too. So if you're going to be at Hanshin Games, and if you are going to be with your smartphone even, take some pictures and send them to H10, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. We would love to add your pictures to the website. So yeah, definitely do that. And then also, if you're going to be at a game, you know, and if you want to possibly meet up with me, I know it's not like a huge, incentive, but hit me up. Let me know. I would love to meet up with you. I did meet up with Mike after the game on June 13th. We had a good talk just about life in general in Japan. And we talked about baseball, of course, all that kind of stuff. The next game I'm planning to be at is not until July the 27th. But you never know. I mean, things come up. Sometimes I get tickets. Sometimes I buy tickets, whatever. So let me know. I would love to talk to you at Koshien. Thank you once again for your time and your passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. Just type in the four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends, your family, your fathers, your enemies, everybody that you know that wants to hear some good Tiger talk. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. The Facebook page, Hanshin Tigers English News, is just shy of 500 likes right now. So go out there and click some likes and follow us there. You can follow T-Ray on Twitter at The Hanshin Tiger. I love putting little stuff up on Twitter as well, so definitely follow me there if you are a tweeter. Until next time, keep cheering until a Hanshin Tigers legend gets named after a European sprinter again. Have a great week, everyone. You know the answer, Hanshin Tigers.